The large crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." This is God's word. In Jesus' name. Scripture is forthright when it speaks about your tongue. In James chapter 3, the tongue is acknowledged to be a small but powerful part of the body. It is like a small rudder that nevertheless guides a large ship across the ocean deep. Or it is like a small spark that can set an entire forest ablaze. The book of Proverbs has much to say about the tongue. How one and the same tongue can be used for good and blessing on one hand and misused for violence and cursing on the other. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. As you heard the reading of the Palm Sunday entrance of Jesus from John 12, and then the account of his passion from Matthew's gospel, you heard different people using their tongues in many different ways. The Palm Sunday crowds praised the coming one with words from Psalm 118, "Hosanna." Even the little ones can say that word, "Hosanna," which means "Lord, save us." It's actually related to the name Jesus. And they cried out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus, in Gethsemane, used his tongue to pray that the Father's will be done and to encourage the disciples to join him in watching. Judas used his deceitful tongue to give the sign of betrayal. "The one I kiss is the man. Seize him." False witnesses rose up and used their tongues to lie about Jesus and misquote his words, since he had not said that he would destroy the temple, whether referring to the building like they thought, or to his own body, which is the truth. Peter used his tongue to deny his master 3 times before the rooster crowed. Pilate used his tongue to examine Jesus and to declare his own innocence from guilt over the blood of Jesus. The religious leaders used their tongues to incite the people who begged for Barabbas and brought curses on themselves and their children, especially at the end of the story. The mocking of Christ was relentless. The soldiers, the passers-by, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, as well as the robbers who were crucified with him, all these derided and assailed him. How will you use your tongue this Holy Week? Will you pray with the psalmist, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips"? The tongue that is instructed, that first listens, the tongue that is taught, the tongue that waits for God to loose it, is the tongue that utters repentance over itself. The psalmist says in another place, "Be silent before the Lord and wait patiently for him." The taught tongue repents over itself. And the whole life of you, the baptized, is repentance over your whole life from beginning to end. As we made our way through the passion account from Matthew's gospel this morning, Jesus said, "Less and less and less." At the end, from the cross, at about the 9th hour, 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he was praying. And really, you can't pray the Psalms without singing. And he's singing the first words, the first line of Psalm 22. These words were quoted by Matthew as Jesus spoke them in a Hebrew and Aramaic mixture. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, Why have you forsaken me? A few verses later, the crowds are puzzling over what Jesus is saying, and Matthew writes, after they had dipped a sponge into sour wine and offered it to him so that he could finish his prayer and finish the psalm and finish the sacrifice, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. This final cry, again with a loud voice, shows Jesus having come to the confident and triumphant end of Psalm 22 and the end of his sacrificial offering. The writer of the Hebrews puts it this way: in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Luther comments on these words from Hebrews: that is the true sacrifice. It deserves to be praised to the utmost and to have every honor given to it, especially over and against those other false, lying sacrifices of our own works, which were invented by us to deny and blaspheme this sacrifice. He is also the priest, who ought to be called a priest above all others. What man can praise and exalt him enough? No matter how great or burdensome sin, wrath, hell, and damnation may be, this holy sacrifice is far greater and higher. May our praise match that high sacrifice. Jesus had the words given to him, Psalm 22, for the extremity of pain and loneliness. Jesus had words given to him from Psalm 22 about God's ultimate vindication and the triumph of his sacrificial life. On account of Christ's holy, precious blood, and on account of his innocent suffering and death, you have had something given to you. You have been given full pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins of thought and deed and speech. The absolution that Christ, the risen Lord, speaks is as definitive as his own resurrection from the dead. He sings his gracious words into our ears. He opens our lips that we might loudly sing his love amazing by joining him in the new life to sing the new song. Sing, my tongue, the glorious battle. Sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross, the trophy, sound the loud triumphant lay. Tell how Christ, the world's redeemer, as a victim, won the day. Or to employ similar wording from Luther's Easter hymn, which we will rejoice to sing in but 1 week's time. Christ Jesus lay in death-strong bands for our offenses given, but now at God's right hand he stands and brings us life from heaven. Therefore, let us joyful be and sing to God right thankfully loud songs praising the crucified Lord of life. Since Christ sang from his cross, let us sing because of that cross and because of what he did there for us. Amen.